section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the role of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join Andrew as we discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. Aaron, let's talk Raw.
They announced the Universal Championship, which is going to be their world title on Raw because Dean Ambrose retained at Battleground by defeating Seth Rollins and, more importantly, pinning Roman Reigns cleanly. So the first question I have to ask, Doug, I'm going to go to you. The Universal Championship, it's named after the WWE Universe. What are your thoughts on the title name?
Oh, I thought it was a mock on TNA since they shot at Universal.
Oh, gosh.
Since it's going to be their world title, I don't know if they necessarily did that intentionally, but do you like the title name? Is this something I know a lot of people were expecting the World Heavyweight. What do you think, though? Is this a good move in that direction?
No, I don't like it because you already have a Mr. Universe contest. That's WWE. You really can't say you are a Universal Champion. I understand they go by the WWE Universe, but is that? I mean, The Rock was the proclaimed people's.
You never have a championship that's named the Universal Championship. It reminds you what the Headbangers did like 10 years ago when they were the Tag Team Champions of the Universe, and it was kind of like, oh, yeah, you're just ridiculous. Doesn't mean anything. I don't know. They probably didn't have a ton of options. I liked World Heavyweight. I thought you could have World Heavyweight in one and WWE Championship in the other one. But, Universe, we'll see how it goes. Maybe in 5 to 6 years we'll get used to it and it won't be so bad.
Andy, let me ask you, what did you think about SmackDown, though, taking a shot at them and creating the Multiverse Championship? Did you think that was a good move? because you have a solar system, then you have the galaxy, then you have the universe, which is the largest. What's bigger than the universe? It's the multiverse.
Oh, gosh.
Are there 52 of them?
There are 52 of them.
And then it'll go through a rebirth in a year, just so we know.
It will. It will, yes.
My thing was that I thought they were going to call it like the Pure Championship, but I know that's been used, I think, in IWGP. Is that right?
No, that was Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor, the Pure Champion. I wish they would have called it that, because to me, that would have sounded, I think, way better. But, that's just my opinion.
It was also, though, it was called the Pure Wrestling Championship, so
but
kind of hard to do that.
In all fairness, Michael Cole said pro wrestling on Raw, and I know it was like, for me, I had to rewind it because I said, what? But he did say pro wrestling, so there's always that. I don't have a big deal. The name at first, I was like, oh my God, but I agree with you, Roger. I think it's something we'll probably come to acknowledge, and be like, I guess that's what it's called now. And we might still think it's a little ridiculous, but it'll probably be, old hat in a year or two. But as I had mentioned, Ambrose retained. So, Andy, when you watched Raw, we had two fatal four ways to decide the main event. What did you think of those, how they were set up, and what did you think of those matches?
In a way, they're kind of predictable, but I enjoyed how they, decided to put on. What was it? That was the 6-on-6, right? Or the six people?
This was the fatal four.
That's right. Two fatal four ways. Okay, that's right. I thought it was, to me, it was predictable on who was going to win. Because once I think Roman won the first one, then Finn won the first one, and then Roman won the second one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. To me, it was very predictable. I thought that Finn was definitely going to win because they're going to have Finn versus Seth Rollins at SummerSlam, and I thought that was a great idea. And they could put on one, a great match. I mean, there's no way to explain it besides it's going to be a great match, and it's something that I'm actually looking forward to, especially the title. I mean, what are they going to do with the title? They're going to, that's I guess a different story. But overall, I'm looking forward to what the end result, because the Fatal Four Ways were really good matches.
Doug, what did you think about the Fatal Four Ways? Was there one that you felt stood out more than the other one, or did you feel they were predictable?
I didn't think they were predictable at all. I thought the matches were really, really well done in the fact that everybody, it seemed like, had a chance to get the pinfall, and then it was broken up by someone or somebody else or anything like that. I didn't see Finn getting actually the win in this one. I kind of thought possibly Roman Reigns, because I figured that this is it. They're going to put Roman versus Rollins again in the main event, because they got to still force feed everything. So I was shocked at the very, very end with Finn winning. But then I kind of thought about it more, and it's like, what better way to put Roman down or even punish him further than, yeah, we'll let you win the Fatal 4-Way match, but you got to put over Finn Balor. I mean, the only other way to put him down more would be to, like, lose to, I don't know, Dolph Ziggler.
Heath Slater.
Yeah.
Oh, Heath Slater. That would be a good one.
And Roger, for you, what did you think? Because obviously Finn won the first one. For me, I thought that was incredibly unpredictable. Did you expect him to? Was there a point in time you were like, oh, yeah, he is definitely winning now?
So I'm actually split between the two of them. I thought the first match was very unpredictable because I actually had anyone but Cesaro could have won that first match to me. I could have seen Rusev. I could have seen Owens. I actually had Owens as my pick, and then Finn Balor because, you know, high draft pick. The second one, though, was very predictable, and then I thought only Roman Reigns realistically had a chance to win that match. I didn't see any of the other three competitors walking out. So the second one, I was kind of like, whatever, just waiting for the inevitable spear, Superman punch, whatever was needed to finish. The main event surprised me. I really thought Reigns was going to go over. So I was surprised by that, and I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was a solid match. It was another Roman Reigns work heel type match, which I think is really more of his strength, whether it was against AJ or Finn. And I like what they're going to do. I think Rollins versus Finn Balor is going to be a fantastic match. Could be, you know, one of the match of the year candidates. The one thing I guess we should probably transition into, and this is a question for all three of you, but did anyone see this coming with Roman Reigns?
Having him lose two nights in a row clean?
Well, I mean, if we really want to think about it, he lost clean at Money in the Bank. He got pinned by a Pedigree. He lost clean at Battleground. And now he lost clean on Monday night. I mean, basically, three out of the last four of his matches, he's lost cleanly.
Yeah, but he won the Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah, three out of four. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's 25%, including two matches for the title and one match for the number one contendership. I mean, you know, this was the guy who was basically pushed to the moon 2 months ago, and now he went from kicking out of 20 chair shots and two Styles clashes to a coup de grace beat you.
Yeah, and you know, for me, I actually am I'm happy that they're humbling him. And I think that the route that they're actually taking Roman Reigns is one that I'm more interested in now. And I think that having him in matches where he doesn't have the title, I'm more interested. I'm more vested in those matches because Roman Reigns as a tweener or heel is a more compelling character to me than Roman as a face. And I think about what they've been doing. You know, they had him against AJ, who is a clear fan favorite. I don't care, you know, if they are putting him with the club. He is a fan favorite. And you're putting him up against an internet darling who Roman is getting booed. They have to, you know, mute the boos. And on Monday night when he came out and they were booing the hell out of him, they let it go. And they had him go up against Finn Balor, who is another internet favorite. You know, he is a fan favorite. So you're putting a face against a quote-unquote face. And so I actually am more interested in Reigns. His loss was incredibly surprising to me. I didn't think that he was gonna lose. I you know, thought the same thing you guys did. But I actually want to ask, kind of piggyback off that. And Doug, I want to ask you: do you think this is too early to push Finn Balor in the way that they are? Because we criticize Roman Reigns, but you know, Finn Balor comes to the main roster and he gets an immediate title shot. He obviously quote unquote worked for it. But he gets an immediate title shot. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think Finn can actually wrestle. So there's the big difference between him and Roman Reigns. And Finn can also put on a promo, which is something that Roman Reigns can't do. I am very interested to see Roman Reigns from now on if they do keep the heelish aspect of him. And because he's now been losing matches, I'm a little bit more interested also because of the fact that one of the boring things about Roman Reigns matches were, oh, he's going to win. Oh, he's going to win. But now there's a chance he might lose. So now I'm a little bit more interested to see if that continues. Finn going over really, really fast. I don't know if I would have done it yet, but I understand that it is Finn Balor. I think it is one of their more popular, obviously one of the most popular NXT champions that they've had. I'm sure his merchandise is going off the roof well over than any other superstar. But let's see what they do. I think it is too early to put a title on him, though. I think he needed to work his way up.
Andy, what about you?
This is a tough call for me because I would like to see a title on him, but I don't think he needs it. I think there's a lot of wrestlers that need it, Roman Reigns. And that's why I hope, I mean, if they were to give it to him, I think I'd be okay with it, but not like the big champion, which, you know, of course, is on SmackDown. I guess you could do it that way. But, you know, ask me the same question tomorrow and I might have a different answer. But I think Finn could bring a lot of money in.
Let me ask you a question, Andy, though, to go off of Aaron's point, for him to win the championship, he would have to then beat Seth Rollins. Would you be okay with him getting a pinfall clean victory over Roman Reigns and then now Seth Rollins?
Not clean, because I still think that they're going to somehow get the Balor Club together. And I'm wondering if somehow Finn does
a heel group, though.
But what if they want to try and put him as a heel, though?
To turn on another heel?
Well, yeah. Seth Rollins is still, I think, a tweener.
No, I don't think Seth McMahon made it very clear that he is the authority's boy. Like, they gave him a bye into the finals. He was the number one pick. He's been very arrogant in his promos. He may be loved, but he is clearly a bad guy.
Yeah, but I still think the fans are like, yeah, we still want to be behind him, even though he is with, you know, the authority or whatever you want to call him. But that's why I still think he's a tweener. I mean, I guess I see your guys' point that, you know, he's being pushed, especially being, you know, like condescending and saying the fans all stink and stuff. But I still think that it would be really cool in a way, because maybe you can put him, transition him to a tweener, almost to a face. Because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of faces on Raw that I can think of off the top of my head.
I mean, you know, you have like Cesaro, you have Finn.
Roman is technically a face.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn. Riders on SmackDown. Who's your mid-card faces? I think this is one of the issues that we had, is that they were very loaded top-heavy, but I don't think they're mid-card. All of the mid-carders, I felt like, went to SmackDown. Mm-hmm.
Mid-carders that could be eventually pushed to main event status.
Big Show on Raw.
Well, I thought he was a heel now.
I think he turned face on the way back up the ramp.
Okay, that's what happened.
Okay. So another thing, Andy, to mention your point, and I kind of see what you're saying about, like, Rollins is loved even though he's a heel. If you tried to turn Balor heel, wouldn't he still be in the same position of being loved? We're not going to hate him just because he goes heel. And if the Balor Club happened, we'd love him even more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then are the club actually heels then?
Yeah, they attack the new then, which we'll talk about in a moment. But yeah. The one last thing I want to say on this is I agree. I think that this would be too early to give Balor the title. I would rather see him overcome some odds, you know, to capture it. So if they do a, I think it's a Clash of the Champions is the Raw pay-per-view. And so if for whatever reason at that one, or, you know, I don't remember if Hell in a Cell was Raw, but if they did at that one where Balor was able to capture the title, I'm cool with that. I'm totally fine with it. I think that Balor is going to be SummerSlam when he comes out in whatever paint he does for New York. I think it is going to be fantastic. And I think that the WWE universe is going to get a feel for who this person is. And he is going to light on fire, but I don't think he should have the title yet.
Now, is the title going to be another WWE belt? Because that's what the trend's being right now, is the women's title has just the big W on it. Do you think they're going to go like the UFC route where it just has the WWE logo on it and a different color, like blue for Universal?
No, I think it'll be red for Raw. I think it'll look just like the WWE belt, but it'll be like a red strap.
Okay.
Cool. And it'll be on Seth Rollins.
I don't know about that, but I guess it's a wait and see. But Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, looks like they actually are done. Their feud is over with, and the last match was at Battleground. And Doug, What were your thoughts on the match? Do you think that this might have been match of the year?
I think it's got to be up in there. Whether it's match of the year, I still like Sami Zayn versus Nakamura better. But this was a wonderful match. Very, very entertaining. Very good storytelling during this match. You did get a kind of a sensation that this is a last match for him. I'll be interested to see what they do in the future. If this is the last match that we get to see them fight for a while, it was a good one to end on.
Now, I actually have a beef with the match, and this is a weird one. I wish that it was a little bit longer, like even just a few minutes longer. I think the match would have been perfect then, because the crowd really got into it. They said fight forever, even though I think it was a weak chant. But what are your thoughts on it, Roger?
You know, it's funny. I actually was not as high on this match as the rest of you. I didn't enjoy the first half of it. I thought it was a little bit slower than I expected out of the two of them. And one other thing is that this is a blood feud, and I've said this before about other feuds. They have spent 2 to 3 months on Raw and basically 4 to 6 months on NXT trying to tear each other apart. They tried to end each other's careers in various ladder matches. Why was this a normal one-on-one match? Why wasn't this a no-holds-barred street fight where they try to tear each other apart? And, you know, I'm not saying you need color, but feud enders need to have something that makes them special, whether it was last man standing or something to just really let them go all out, because I've seen this match 5, 6, 7 times, and it was a fine match, but it wasn't match of the year to me. Like, this was nowhere close to Zayn Nakamura or that Fatal 4-Way match. Like, this was a solid match, but this could have main evented Raw to me. It was okay. I don't think, and I say okay for them. It was still good, 3.5 stars, but it wasn't amazing. It wasn't what I expected. I thought they were going to really tear the house down, and I thought the finish tore the house down. I didn't really think the whole match itself was as good as I expected.
I liked the match. I thought it was good. I would say from what we've seen so far this year, to me, it was probably top 5, definitely top 10 for sure. Just kind of depends on, you know, I'd have to do a full on top 5 to see. I thought it was good. I agree with you, Roger, though, you know, since it is such a blood feud, you would want to have something special for it. But I don't think that this is the last match. I know that they talked about it, and I know it kind of felt that way. But you know how WWE is? You know, they're on the same brand. And to me, I think that's kind of telling. You know, if they're on the same brand, they're going to have to, you know, lock up at some point in time again. In fact, when they announced the Fatal 4-Ways, I was like, oh, my God, are they going to do those two? Like, you know, I was thinking about that. And then I thought, there's no way they do that, which means they might. But I was happy that they didn't. I was very happy they didn't. But I don't know. I don't think we'll see it at SummerSlam. I don't think we'd see it at Survivor Series. I actually could see some tension maybe at Survivor Series. They do, let's say they did a bragging rights type of match where those two are on the same team, and then they bring up the fact that they don't like each other again. You know, I see them having another match, having a final match before they finally get split off, maybe at a you know, WrestleMania or you know, Royal Rumble or something along those lines. That's where I see their final match going. And then it would be like a Cage or a Last Man Standing.
So, Aaron, let me ask you, are you telling me that you don't have faith in the WWE to promote something as like a final match or a once in a lifetime? I mean, if they promoted a once in a lifetime match, you're not going to see that match at the following WrestleMania again. It's a once in a lifetime match, and you never see it again.
Completely ever. Done. Yep.
Yeah.
Something that I would like to see is if they actually did continue like interfering in each other's matches to a point that they disrupt the whole show. Like every Raw, they just come out into the middle of somebody else's match and start beating up on each other in the middle of the ring until finally Stephanie gets mad and says, "We're trading one of you to SmackDown." And then they get, you know, like
Kalisto. The Fatal 4-Ways would have been a great opportunity to do that. Each one of them interfered in the other Fatal 4-Way.
It would have been.
What if one of them is playing Pokemon Go and goes into the ring to catch a Pikachu and causes the Shining Stars to lose to Enzo and Cass? What if they did that?
That was ridiculous. That was seriously
I feel like
ridiculous.
The servers would crash.
I felt like that made Enzo and Cass a little weak, just because the only way they could win a match is by interference from Pokemon Go.
Yeah. It would be funny if Enzo was actually playing Pokemon Go while dancing around punching them. That would be hilarious.
Yes.
So speaking of that, so let's talk about the tag title situation there. So obviously Enzo and Cass, they beat the Shining Stars. You know, they're on their way up. We had the club attack New Day when New Day had a, you know, segment being the longest reigning. What is it? It's the WWE tag titles, right? You know, they had a segment on that and the club attacked them as I think we had predicted, you know, they were going to have a match at SummerSlam, which I think is the expectation now. But do they do maybe a three-way where they have those three teams in there? Do the Shining Stars somehow get interjected in there? Do we have another four-way tag match, do we think, at SummerSlam, Andy?
Good question. I think they do. I think they want to showcase tag teams on in this case, Raw. So they got to have something to showcase them. I think the best way to do it is take your four the top four tag teams, put them in a match.
Are they really a top team, though?
I'm just saying that that's what they would want to do. Or they could do a tournament also leading up to SummerSlam where, you know, the winner on Raw takes on the New Day. You can do something like that as well.
Didn't we just do a tournament not too long ago?
Oh, crap, we did, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. And we also did a four-way not too long ago.
So do they do just a straight-up, you know, two-on-two match then, do you think, at SummerSlam, Doug?
I think so. I think this is the time. I mean, you can have the club come out and say, you know, they would have beat them before. They should be the champions now if it wasn't for those other two teams losing or interfering. And this will be a straight up club versus New Day.
And in your estimation, New Day obviously has the record for the WWE titles. They are they're not going to have the world title, world tag title record. Because Demolition held it for 400 or 500 some days. So it was they'd have to hold it for a long time. Potentially they could do that for the New Day, but do you think that this is the time they take the titles off and they give it to the club? Do you give it to a heel tag team?
I think you do just because of the fact that you've had the New Day so long holding on to it or anything like that. You have Bray Wyatt now is on SmackDown, so it's not like the Wyatts can compete for the titles. You know, if they do hold on to it, when is the next time that Raw and SmackDown go to pay-per-view? Would that be the Rumble?
SummerSlam and then Survivor Series, yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if you have them hold on to it until they lose to a team from SmackDown. But I think this is your best bet, and I would do it too, is I'd pull the trigger and give the titles to the club at least for, you know, compelling storyline aspect. Whether you give it back to the New Day a little bit later, that's fine. But for right now, I think we need to establish the club as a dominant force on the Raw roster and give the titles to them.
All right. And Andy, to move on to the women's title. So at Battleground, we had Sasha with Bayley, surprisingly enough. She came out and they defeated Charlotte and Dana Brooke. And then the next night on Raw, we had Sasha defeat Charlotte for the WWE Women's Championship. So first things first, what did you think of that moment? Was it the right time to take the title off Charlotte? You know, she had held the title for a number of months now. So was that the right move?
I think it was the right time to do it because this is technically the first, you know, like this is the reboot of Raw. And I think that you need to have a title change showing that anything can happen on Raw. And you don't want to give, you don't have a, you know, your number one can, you know, championship yet. And then you have your tag titles, but you know, the women's championship, it doesn't have to be thrown around, but I think Sasha deserved it. And I think that, I think the match is actually pretty good on Raw, especially for a Raw. And I thought everything that happened in the match, I was very happy with, even though I think for some reason there was like a really bad botch, but where Sasha basically landed on her chin. So, but other than that, I was really happy about it. And I think it's at SummerSlam, it's going to be a good match.
You think they'll do a rematch there then?
They'll have to do a rematch, but I think they're going to do some type of gimmick where some way, somehow, you know, Dana Brooke cannot be involved and no one else can. It's just the two of them. So I'm thinking they're going to do something, maybe cage match, which would be very interesting for a pay-per-view. I don't remember the last time a women's match has been in a cage, if ever. So.
And Roger, what about you? What'd you think about the match?
I liked it. I mean, I echo the sentiments. I don't think this is the type of match you had to hold off until SummerSlam, because it's not like it's their first meeting. We've seen them fight in triple threats. We've seen them have good matches in NXT. And, you know, this is the new era, right? You want to make people believe that Raw is worth watching. Title changes need to happen on Raw. The momentum logically made sense. Sasha and Bayley beat Charlotte the previous night, ended their undefeated pay-per-view streak. I don't think Charlotte had lost on pay-per-view prior to this. So, you know, good match, good logic. Number one contender came up and beat them. Really happy Bayley got a great pop. She's certainly ready for the main roster. I know that's something we had debated. Maybe I think Aaron, you at one point were against Bayley in the main roster, and you probably softened that stance since.
Yeah. I mean, other than I think with the split, they would definitely use her better now.
Yeah. So I like it. The thing that concerns me the most, and this kind of is the same thing with the tag, is now that you've split them, but you still only have the title on one show, you don't have enough of a division to keep this going. You have on Raw, off the top of my head, you have Sasha, Charlotte, Dana Brooke, Nia Jax. That's it. I don't know any of the other women. And are any of them good?
What about Alicia Fox?
So like I said, you have those four women. Mm-hmm. Paige, I think, is on SmackDown. Or is she on Raw? I don't know.
I think she's on Raw now.
Yeah, because Del Rio's on SmackDown, so yeah. She's on Raw.
So you have a very thin division, which is something I don't understand. What are the women on SmackDown fighting for? What are the tag teams on SmackDown fighting for? Like, what is the point of being a women's wrestler when there's no championship for you to fight for?
That's a great point, actually. Maybe they can have something where, I don't know, like at like the big four pay-per-views, they can actually... You know, someone from SmackDown can go after a title on Raw, vice versa. They could always do something like that.
I mean, they can, and that's a way to get around it, but why not just keep the division together? Like, why not have the Cruiserweight division on Raw, have the Tag division on Raw, and have the Women's division on SmackDown? Or if you want Stephanie to have the Women's Revolution because they want to give her, you know, the credit for that, put the Tag teams on SmackDown. Like, even the Tag teams on SmackDown, what is the Ascension fighting for? Neither one of them are single stars.
Who are they fighting for anyway?
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but you get my point, right? You know, if you don't have a title over there, single stars can go on both brands because there's always going to be titles, but there's only one tag title, only one women's title.
And there shouldn't be multiples because it doesn't work, yes, unfortunately. Right. No, I totally agree with you. It does make it a little strange, and, you know, I would have put probably the women on SmackDown and the tag on Raw since you have a little bit more time to do the storylines. The only thing about it is at least you do have a little bit more time for the women on SmackDown, which is nice, because on Raw, since you have the tag and you have the women, you're always going to have a women's segment, always have a tag segment, and you'll basically always have a women's segment on SmackDown as well, and probably have a tag team segment. But that is kind of nice. Depending on what they decide to do with the titles, if they decide to, like Andy said, at the main four pay-per-views, they allow for a SmackDown person to go against the Raw title. Like they say, oh, this is the lead up. We're going to have a big tournament or a battle royal, and this will be the person to go for the title. Then maybe that might work. But it's a little convoluted right now, and more convoluted than Alberto Del Rio's terrible finisher where, you know, they hold it. Yeah.
Oh, you mean that chest stomp where they magically do like the biggest core lift ever? That one's awesome.
Yep.
All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free set builder, hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo so easy as, and if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big on items from WWEShop.com. Aaron, did you ever use that code I gave you a year ago?
I tried to yesterday. Didn't work.
Bigger question. Have you worn your Fandango shirt yet?
I remember I gave it back to you because you wore it at the Everett event.
Oh, I need to wear that Fandango shirt again.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
All right. So AJ Styles and John Cena, looks like they're going to continue a feud. You know, Cena did get a win over AJ at Battleground. Does that mean that SummerSlam Cena's going to job for AJ?
No.
Nope.
No.
Why is that?
Actually, I don't know. Maybe.
No.
Doug, why is that?
The club's favorite hashtag is beat up John Cena, and I think WWE's favorite hashtag is Lil Cena wins. Can we really say that we think that AJ Styles is going to get a clean victory over John Cena? Because they basically set it up in the first match. The only reason why he won was the club. Cool. Now there's no club. I think we kind of see where this is going. Hope AJ wins. But, I mean, I wouldn't bet the house or a dollar on it.
I really want AJ Styles to get a clean win over John Cena. I think that would actually make him, I think more people would take him seriously, because I think some, not everyone, but I think there's some people that are like, oh, he's just there. But I think that this feud could go on for a while. It might not just be a few weeks, because that's the other thing with these shows is that, you know, in a month, we may only have 4 SmackDowns. So, and there might be a pay-per-view right afterwards. That means you have to go through the whole storyline in 4 weeks, which is interesting, actually. This could be interesting, but I guess you're right. If you had to put money on it, I'd have to pick John Cena winning. So, Aaron.
Yeah, I would too. But I agree with you. This is something that they could potentially have go on a little bit longer. They were very smart on having a 6-man tag at Battleground. I thought it would be somebody like Carl Anderson eating the pin, but they decided to have AJ, you know, with a super AA, and I'm okay with that. I'm very, very okay with it. I think at Battleground, I would almost have AJ win if I was doing this storyline wise. And then at the next pay-per-view, you do maybe a tag match, between these two. And then maybe, you know, further down the line, that's when you do the final, like, blow-off match, you know, between them. And then you have Cena get a big win and, you know, he overcame the odds or something stupid. That's probably the route I would go. I think it would probably be a good route, too, if they did do that. But I actually like these two. I think that some of Cena's best work is when he's not going for the title and when he's working with somebody who can go, you know, and do a Broadway. You know, he did fantastic with CM Punk and he did fantastic with Daniel Bryan. I think he's doing a great job with AJ Styles and he's, you know, really making the, he's becoming more interesting, you know, and when he's not with the title, he's incredibly interesting in the same way like Roman Reigns, when he's not anywhere near a title, he's interesting.
I have a question that I want to bring up. Was anyone disappointed when they saw Eva Marie come out?
Disappointed? The entrance to me, they made that ridiculous prepackaged fake Hollywood thing. And I was like, why do they keep pushing this no talent hack down our throats? Like, the sad thing about her is that she's such a heel magnet that she would be a great manager with it. Like, she is the current Lana, right? She gets a ton of heat. Why do you not put her with someone like a Baron Corbin who kind of struggles to get heat and let her heat transition to him and make him the person that beats up the guys that make fun of Eva or, you know, mock her and, oh my God, you have an easy feud now. Have Dolph, you know, when they were doing that stupid feud, have Dolph, you know, make the fact that he slept with Eva or something like that. And he, you know, Baron defends her honor. Huh, easy feud.
Well, that's going to happen next week because, you know, they listen to our show. Doug, what do you think about Orton and Lesnar? The fact that they already scheduled a match at SummerSlam, one's on Raw, one's on SmackDown. What are your thoughts on basically the promo that Orton cut recently?
I like the promo that they did because I was kind of curious of why Orton v. Lesnar even was the match that they chose to go with at SummerSlam for Lesnar's opponent. I understand that they haven't really faced each other, I don't think ever, not even in tag matches, have they?
Orton may have faced Brock when he was super, super young and Brock was getting that monster push. Like, I feel like I remember that match. Like, when Orton was still doing, like, the crossbody. You remember that what I was talking about? Like, when he was very, very green. But I don't think that, not in their current personas.
Okay, so, but either way, it's been a long, long time. It's not like Orton Cena where it was, you know, every month for 2 years. So it'll be interesting to see. It's a little bit more interesting now, too, because you have Orton on SmackDown, you have Lesnar on Raw. And so at SummerSlam, you do have at least one competitive, you know, reason for Stephanie to be in the corner of Lesnar, and you have Shane in the corner of Orton, you know. But I think it got really, really interesting when Orton made the the comment that he said on what was it Y2J show?
Yep.
The highlight reel. The no enhancements needed. I think that was classic, and I'm glad that they add in some real life aspect to it, because it makes it feel real, even though we all know it's predetermined, as Cena ruined for everybody on the ESPYs.
And that's a kind of a bigger point of, typically suspensions were kind of hidden. Like, you know, they just disappeared and then they come back randomly in 30 days. And the last two times, because Roman Reigns thing, they didn't hide it. They said he's been suspended. Michael Cole mentioned it. Seth Rollins mocked him for it hardcore. Now they're mentioning Brock, you know, popping that test at UFC. Is this a thing where you think going forward they're going to say, hey, if they're suspended, we're going to make an angle out of it and actually act like he's suspended, not it's just like a random injury that happens to heal in 30 days?
That's actually my beef. I think that if you're suspended, I think that's it. You should not be in any matches upcoming, or you're going to job it right away, and then you're going to get suspended, and then you start a storyline up. I think that the fact that they put him right back in there, I was a little disappointed in that. Same thing with Lesnar. Even though that he did fail a drug test, I still think that they should have. Even though it wasn't the WWE, it's still, and he's a part-timer technically. I guess mm-hmm. I have a beef with that, because I think the real reason why they're actually saying they're letting this out is that because they're a publicly traded company, they have to announce when a wrestler gets suspended.
It was UFC that announced it.
Correct.
Well, I think that's part of it too, is that it was a UFC test, not a WWE test. So, I mean, WWE potentially could, you know, use that as an excuse, but I love them incorporating this into the storylines. Everybody knows it, and they know that, you know, people are going to mock Roman Reigns for it. Obviously, there are signs everywhere about him. You know, Roman's piss turned heel was my favorite sign from Battleground.
Better than Roman must be deleted.
Oh, you mean the artwork for this week?
I really like the fans know, you know, and so there's no point in hiding it. And to get back to what Orton had said, you know, that using that line, and then of course Jericho said, you know, you're probably going to get in trouble for that. And he's like, yeah, probably. You know, that's cool. Like, I'm good with that. It's you're pulling back the curtain just a little bit, you know, to make people think like, oh, they're actually having a real conversation now. And, you know, what Orton said was real. Does he actually have malice towards Lesnar? I don't know. Maybe he does, you know. And so you're really kind of you're taking away that disbelief. And this is now a match to me that I think could end the show, you know. And that's something that, you know, thinking about the big matches that they have three major matches. This right now feels like the main event, you know. And while the world title should always be the main event, there's also those matches that can supersede it at some point in time. And I think that this is potentially one of them.
Let me ask all three of you guys a question. Do any of you have a problem with Randy Orton, of all people, the man who WWE had to create basically a rule for to get him not fired for popping suspensions? Do you have a problem with him mocking Lesnar for failing his steroid test, basically, considering his past?
I don't have a problem with it as much as I see the irony of it.
It's also, wouldn't Orton get popped for? That's the other thing.
Which time?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Which time? I'm wondering if he had something to do with steroids as well, because then that's what the kettle calling the pot black. I mean, come on.
I know when they did his IED storyline right around, I think it was WrestleMania 25, when he punted Vince McMahon, and they talked about how he had that explosive disorder where he couldn't control himself. They actually dropped it really quickly once they found out that was actually caused. That's a real thing that's caused by steroid use, which, of course, isn't something they wanted associated with Orton's character, since he himself had actually been popped for steroids. So, yeah, it is the pot calling the kettle black here. And I think that's something Paul Heyman will probably mention over the coming weeks.
Will he?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think if you're going to continue to, like Aaron said, to pull back that curtain, you absolutely should have Paul Heyman. So be like, really? Are you the one here to talk about suspensions considering your past? And I'd even bring up the policy of, yeah, you know, they used to have a three strikes and you're out policy, except for somebody had to have it changed for them. You don't have to actually point out that it's him, but we'll know who he's talking about.
Well, I only ask because Paul Heyman, his contract has expired.
Yeah, but if Brock wants Paul, they'll bring back Paul Heyman.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that'd be smart too. I mean, you have to have Paul Heyman there in order to deliver those vicious promos and to take jabs at Orton. And it could be very simple as like, you know, not even like going too deep, but just the snide, like, you know, oh, Orton, you're one to talk about enhancements, and just leave it at that. You know, like, you don't even have to go too far into detail with it, but just saying something like that is enough to make people go, oh, you know. And when Heyman's on anyway, we're listening. You know, that is something we are paying very close attention to. So, you know, yeah, totally agree. I actually like the idea of the feud by proxy too. I think that it's really great. You have Orton on SmackDown, who's going to talk about Lesnar, and they have Lesnar on Raw, who's going to talk about Orton, and they're not going to meet until, and they're not even going to be in the same ring as each other until SummerSlam, until finally, you know, both their music plays, the bell rings. That's when they're finally going to be in the ring with each other for the first time. And, you know, probably like 15 years or so, you know, we're finally going to see this type of match. I guess it'd be like, you know, 12 years or something.
Maybe a once in a lifetime match.
Maybe once in a lifetime.
So speaking of Orton on SmackDown, what did you guys think of Randy Orton, who is being built towards a match with the most dominant force in WWE, getting basically dominated by The Miz?
Ring rust.
I mean, like, that just came off strange to me, right? You're building him to be an equal to Brock Lesnar, and The Miz threw him around the ring for 10 minutes and got hit with two moves, an RKO and an RKO. Other than that, Miz controlled that match. Am I supposed to believe now that you can beat up Brock Lesnar because you can hit an RKO out of nowhere?
Yeah. It just that aspect, though, of, you know, you're going to see, I mean, the match is pretty much being pre-told. Brock is going to dominate the whole match, but all Randy Orton needs is his RKO out of nowhere, you know, to defeat the beast. So he can be completely smashed, you know, 20 plus suplexes, but you still are going to have that chance or belief that Randy Orton could RKO out of nowhere and win this match.
And Andy, do you think Randy's body can handle 20 suplexes, considering his history with shoulder injuries? He's got hypermobile shoulders. He's missed significant time, I think 3 times in his career because of it.
I'm wondering how he's going to take him. Is he going to actually land on his shoulders, or is he going to do the full body flip? Because if he does the full body flip, technically it won't be that bad on his shoulder, but otherwise...
Can you take that 20 times?
No, he might be able to take it, I'd say 10 times and be okay.
A full body flip, suplex 10 times?
Well, if he did the full body flip, I think he could do 20 of them. Because it's not going to, it's not about the shoulder. Well, I guess it is actually, because you land on your forearms. I think he could get 10 and be okay. You know, either where he lands on his shoulders or does the full body flip. But I think after that, that's when you're going to have some problems. And also, you know, he's just coming back from surgery with that, but.
Aaron, do you think we see the punt?
I think we see a punt attempt, and then Lesnar picks him up for the final F5. So I would say probably, I think, two F5s.
How many RKOs?
I'd say two RKOs as well.
I think we get a trifecta of RKOs. I don't think he goes for a pin after the second one, though. I think it's going to be one of those ones just to, like, he needs an RKO, and then he sits down and recovers from a beating.
Is he going to do an RKO out of the F5?
Oh, yeah, you can do it.
Can you? Can you really do that?
You could spin it.
You have to spin him the other way, wouldn't he? No, actually, you're right. I guess you could do it.
Because he really spins him, and as he spins him, he just needs to grab the head and pull it down.
Yeah, because
I'd much rather see a shooting star into an RKO.
Oh.
Too soon?
Oh man.
Is that too soon? Hashtag too soon?
Not soon enough.
Was that at WrestleMania?
Not only was it at WrestleMania, it was the WrestleMania in Seattle that I was at. So I got up close and personal, as close you can be, to Lesnar trying to kill himself off the top rope.
And they said that he's done that move like hundreds of times before, perfectly fine. It's just that one time.
Yep. Yeah, right. So one thing that I was happy to see is that they're actually doing something with Ziggler right now. So Ambrose and Ziggler are going to go at it at SummerSlam, and they're going to go for the WWE, the WWE title, not the World Heavyweight Champion. But I'm actually excited about this because Dolph, he'll work good, and this will be a really good match. But It looks like they're going to try and... Do you think they're going to have to turn Ziggler heel, Doug?
No. I was actually... When I didn't get to see SmackDown live, I had to watch a replay of it. And when somebody had already spoiled the ending for me, and they told me that Ziggler won, I was like, what are they doing? How could they have Ziggler win? And then I find out that he pinned AJ Styles. Made me even more furious at that aspect of how is this possible? And then I finally remembered they have Dean Ambrose as their champion. They need somebody to job for him for 1 month, don't they, before they start getting into a real title threat?
Did you like the fact that he used the super kick, though?
No, I thought it was all just ridiculous. I absolutely thought that whole thing was just ridiculous.
I was actually trying to picture what Roger was thinking when this happened. I just hear him saying, what? The super kick?
That the move everybody else does?
Yeah. I like Dolph Ziggler. Like, don't get me wrong. I think he's a fantastic wrestler who's been underused, right? Story of his career.
I agree with
him. For the love of all that is holy, you are not Shawn Michaels. Stop tuning up the band. Stop wearing the stuff that makes you look like Shawn from 1998 or 1988 or whatever year he's going for. Stop tuning up the band. Stop this poor Shawn Michaels impersonation, right? Like, when Jericho and Shawn feuded, Jericho made a point to say, I don't want to be the next Shawn Michaels. I want to be the first Chris Jericho. Why are you trying to be the next Shawn Michaels? You're never going to do Shawn Michaels better than Shawn Michaels did. Be Dolph Ziggler. Be a great wrestler. I get that the zigzag is not the greatest finisher. Come up with a new finisher. Stop using the super kick. Like, the move's already overused as it is. I mean, how many people use the super kick right now? Del Rio and Owens and Tyler Breeze and the Usos each use a super kick. I mean, it's like, gosh, how many people need to do a super kick? Rusev, I think, has a super kick of his own. Yep. So it's I mean, you know what? Honestly, at this point, I'm sure I could do a kick. It wouldn't be super, but I could kick. You know, and I'm happy he's in the main event. I think he's going to put on a good show. He's going to sell, you know, for Ambrose, and he's going to make him look convincing. I don't think they do turn Ziggler heel. I think they need to turn Ziggler heel. Like, I think Ziggler should probably follow the Tyson Kidd storyline from NXT, where he is so desperate to be the champion that he just slowly kind of progresses. You know, maybe you have him win or lose two or three times where he starts to get more desperate and more desperate, trying to use a chair, and then, you know, he just can't beat Ambrose. And he snaps. Because him being this face who always gets the crap kicked out of him, he's not going to go anywhere. He needs something to freshen up his career. And maybe a heel turn on Ambrose will do it.
Yeah, I think a heel turn would really help out. And I think that if he does turn heel, I would tease it for the next 4 weeks. And then at SummerSlam, do exactly what you said, Roger. And basically, you know, like a ref bump. And then he takes a chair and goes, you know what? I'm going to use it. And then he uses it. And then, you know, Ambrose still kicks out, or the ref doesn't, you know, get back up yet. You know, something happens that stops, you know, him from winning the title. And then you could have, up until Backlash, which is on September 11th, which is just a few weeks after that, that's where you do the rematch, because it's the Backlash, where you have a heel Ziggler versus a face Ambrose, and it's a, you know, false count anywhere. It's a, you know, no holds barred match, something like that. I'm totally okay with that, and I think that's the route that they should go. But my question about this match, you know, as I had, you know, kind of talked about earlier, is, what is the SummerSlam main event going to be? You know, I said I think it's going to be Brock Orton. Andy, do you think that the WWE title or the Universal title should be the main event?
I believe it'll be the Universal title. I think that's going to be the big one. So you end on that, and I think right before that match, you'll probably have like a women's match, or some type of match that they can just be like, oh, this happened, or some type of promo. But then I think that you'll have to do Brock Orton then, and then before that, the WWE title. Or halfway through the show, they'll do the WWE title. It'll be something where you're like, oh, so they basically said the WWE world title now, or I'm sorry, the title, the WWE champion is worthless. Even though that should technically be the last match, but that's what I think they're going to do. Aaron, what did you think they're going to do?
I think it'd be Brock Orton. What about you, Roger?
I'm torn. I don't think the WWE title goes in the main event, purely because it's Dolph Ziggler, and Dolph Ziggler has never been a main eventer for WWE. I don't think he's going to start now and magically become the guy who goes on last. I'm torn because on the one hand, you have Brock Lesnar, who is probably your biggest attraction. But do you want him in the main event right now? I mean, we kind of, you know, Randy Orton's still coming back. We have the PED suspension or the failed test, I guess we should say. And Seth Rollins is your number one draft pick. He has basically been the franchise, and you're introducing a new championship. I think Raw gets the main event. I think it's going to be Balor versus Rollins in a fantastic match that, you know, Rollins stands tall and looks good.
And Doug?
The way I set it up is because you have it's Ambrose versus the guy who couldn't beat Baron Corbin Ziggler, that will be your in-between match. You have Orton Lesnar, then you have the WWE title, and then you have the Universal be your finisher because you have two guys that are going to put on a hell of a match in Finn Balor and Seth Rollins. That will be probably the match of the night, and that's the one you want to end on.
You know, actually thinking about this more and more, I think you actually have to have Brock Orton be the final match because they're both main eventers, and I don't think you want to put Finn in the main event as the last match right off the bat. I think you have to hold that off for a little bit.
Well, that's why I also don't think Finn should be in this match yet. But at the same time, I think people are so pumped up to see Finn Balor that this will be his entrance will be the kind of like that main event entrance.
Yeah, see, actually, I agree with you to a point, Doug. And I said this before about AJ Styles, where I didn't like him in that main event with Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Though, with NXT basically being another brand for the WWE, we've already had a year of Finn Balor being a main event attraction, even if it's on the quote-unquote lesser brand. He's been in main events. He's headlined NXT takeovers, things like that. So I'm not as bothered by him being in the main event with Rollins. I would be a little bit more bothered if he got the win because I think that's a hot shot, and I think that's too quick for him to win the championship. But him losing clean to Rollins, I'm not all that bothered about it. And his main event entrance, like Aaron had said earlier, is going to be amazing at Brooklyn. Mm. That whole SummerSlam crowd is going to be like a precursor to what we're going to see in Florida when he has, you know, 80,000 people just going nuts over his music. So I don't have as much of a problem with him being in the main event here. It's a little early, and I agree with you. But I don't know if you had a better option to go against Rollins, because I definitely didn't want to see Reigns. I don't know who else you put on there from Raw.
It's a good question, but I wondered if it's time to start putting Kevin Owens in the main event title shot picture. The problem is you have heel versus heel, but you know, maybe you give Cesaro his shot or give Sami Zayn a shot or something along those lines. Whether they – I mean, I still think you have Rollins go over and be the first Universal Champion because he was the first NXT champion. He'll be the first Universal Champion, and he is their poster boy right now, actually. I mean, for all intents and purposes, he is the future of WWE. So I want to see – I would have loved to see Finn, you know, put him in the four-way matches. That would have been great. I just wouldn't have had him win, and then I'd have him – I hate to say it, but I really want him with the Intercontinental title for at least a little bit. I would love to see him versus Kevin Owens for the Intercontinental title or him, you know, just, but they don't have that. They have the US title. Him versus Rusev might not be the greatest of matches either, but I would like to see Finn hold that US title right away. I would give him the US title right away, honestly, and let him run with that for a little bit and then say, you know what? Okay. I've had my time with the US title. I'm going for the big one now. And probably, you know, come WrestleMania, he might be that in that fight for the Universal title.
Part of me kind of wishes that they had done an elimination chamber at SummerSlam. I feel like that would have been a great way to introduce a new champion. Like, take your top six, have them all win qualifying matches and say, hey, that's my SummerSlam main event. I'll give you six guys. And you know, you can put Roman in that match. That's a match where I think he would shine. He could spear somebody through the pod, you know, the glass. They can make a big deal of it. He can get pinned without there being a huge deal because, you know, oh, he took a coup de grace and a pop-up powerbomb and a, you know, three or four finishers. Yeah, I don't know. I think I think this match is going to be great, but I think it's probably a tad bit too soon. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think there wasn't really a better option outside of Kevin Owens, and Owens versus Rollins would be weird.
I think it'd be a hell of a match, but yes, I do. I think it would be weird. The setup would be.
So real quick, just kind of final things that we had talked about here. We had a couple of things on SmackDown where we had some free agents show up. We had Rhino actually show up and Gore Heath Slater. Really cool to see. Apparently he is now on SmackDown. But the gold standard, Shelton Benjamin, got a promo, and Shelton Benjamin is going to be on SmackDown. Roger, I'm going to go to you first. I'm a huge Shelton Benjamin fan. Does it excite you to see him back?
Oh, it excites me. I mean, there ain't no stopping him now. I mean, let's just be real. I think all of us, the moment we saw American Alpha, dreamed of World's Greatest Tag Team versus American Alpha. Now three of those four guys are on SmackDown. If I see Chad Gable have a promo and Shelton shows up and talks about like, oh, you've got a partner. Well, I know somebody and we can have a match. I'm going to lose my mind. That is a dream match. I always loved Shelton's work. He's a little bit older now. He's 44, but he did some good stuff in Japan and Ring of Honor. Give me that match. Like, that is a pay-per-view quality match. Even with no titles, I would be more excited for that match than anything they do on Raw with New Day.
Are you talking about bringing Charlie Haas as well?
Do you not want the world's greatest tag team? They're the world's greatest tag team.
Yeah, but isn't Haas like really like messed up right now?
Well, unmess him up and team him back up with Shelton Benjamin. Fix it. Make this happen. Make Shelton great again.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I am excited about this. This would be a big pay-per-view match. And I think that it would be also kind of cool if they got Kurt Angle to come in and ref or something like that. But yeah, I mean, Rhino came back, and I just, for some reason, I always liked when he did the, like, get up, get up, get up, I'm going to gore you. But Shelton Benjamin, when they had that promo, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Oh, man. When's it going to do a crazy bump? When do you think that's going to happen, Aaron?
Let's see. When's the next ladder match? Whenever they have a ladder match, I cannot wait to see him on it. But no, look, Shelton Benjamin is fantastic. He's going to be really great to see there. I think he's obviously in terms of excitement. I'm way more excited for him. Doug, where do you interject Shelton Benjamin? Is there a certain feud you might put him into? Obviously, American Alpha would be an idea if you have a tag team partner for him. But is there anyone else you might, you know, want to pair him with?
Do you pair him with Apollo Crews?
Put those two together to take on American Alpha?
Maybe. The only thing I got for the people that are returning, I love how SmackDown is breaking the rules. There was only supposed to be 6 call-ups from NXT. I'm glad that Rhino finally got the NXT call-up. But, that's just breaking the rules. Come on now.
I don't think Rhino was on the NXT roster, though. He did fight Joe, but I don't think he was technically on the NXT roster.
He's been in NXT for like the last year.
Yeah, but he disappeared for like 2 months. Remember after?
Well, that's because he ran for office.
What, really?
Yeah, he actually did up in Michigan. I don't know if it's done yet, but that's why the chance vote for Rhino were being made.
That makes so much more sense. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Okay.
So... no, but I am very, very happy. Once I heard Shelton Benjamin was coming back, I instantly, you know, there ain't no stopping him. And I really thought that this is a little, like, almost a little too little too late. The fact that they're finally going to give people that actually wrestle and put on great, great shows and big bump moves, you know, they're going to get them in the main events and put them over. And it's like, oh, great, now we're going to bring Shelton Benjamin back. You know, is that to mock him? You know, just a, hey, you know that all that stuff you used to do for us that we now finally appreciate in our wrestlers? Here, come on back and, put them over.
Oh, my gosh. Have you actually seen the picture for Vote for Rhino that he has on his Facebook account?
I have not.
And I don't want to ruin my image of Rhino, so I'm not.
Okay. Definitely not.
You don't want to see him in a suit or is he in a.
No.
Did he have the horn on?
I feel like, and I'll make this quick, but there are certain people, like seeing Undertaker, not an Undertaker garb, just kind of ruins the mystique for me. It's like when I see Kane, like I know he's not really a pyromaniac who tried to kill people, but I don't want to see him in a suit unless he's corporate Kane. So no, I don't want to see Ryan in a suit ever. I want to see him goring people. Like, I'd watch a segment of him goring people randomly on the street, just like the old team
or his running, whoever's running against him.
Remember the old office linebacker? That should have been
Terry Tate.
Rhino needs to be the wrestling politician and just gore other senators who had the audacity to argue with him.
I just want to see Rhino be the office manager for WWE and just gore people in the back. Just run around.
All right. Someone had something bad happen today in HR. All right, Rhino. Yes. Gore.
Hey, creative. Can't come up with a good thing for Shelton Benjamin.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, Rhino, we don't have anything for you. Oh, really?
Gore. You got time to lean. You got time to clean. Let's make this place great again.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so is there anything that you guys want to close on? We'll start with you, Doug. Anything you want to close on for everything that's happened with the brand split and basically just this month review? Is there anything that stuck out for you?
I thought Raw was a really, really good show, and I was really pumped to watch SmackDown, and I think that was a big letdown. So I really want to see SmackDown come up with something. I don't know what, but the six-man thing wasn't as entertaining as the four-way matches to get to a main event. To run for the title. So we'll see. It's only been 1 week. Kind of hoping for a little bit more out of SmackDown, though.
All right. And you, Roger?
You got to switch the announcers. That's my biggest pet peeve. JBL and his over-the-top antics don't fit SmackDown. He's too much about himself. He doesn't put the wrestlers over enough. I feel like his personality doesn't mesh very well with Ronaldo, whereas Corey Graves is so fantastic to listen to that if I could have him next to Ronaldo, and even though Tonga is fine, like, I don't really hate him. He's kind of in the background. I'd prefer Tom Phillips. I mean, for so many reasons, even Marie's on SmackDown, which means Corey Graves needs to be on SmackDown to tell people to shut up when she comes out. He understands how to commentate, in my opinion, better. They need to swap that, and they need to swap that immediately. Yes, Raw's announced team suck, and so be it, but Graves needs to go to SmackDown.
100% agree. And you know, for me, Raw was fantastic this week. It didn't seem like 3 hours, which is a good thing. You know, it wasn't like something you're sitting through and you're like, oh God, when's this going to end? Whereas SmackDown just seemed, you know, it was SmackDown-esque. But, you know, you're not going to hit 100% every time. So, you know, I think that we are in a good spot. The lead up to SummerSlam, I think, will be good. And we'll be talking about it, you know, even if we're not doing a show. And SummerSlam, I think, has the potential to be one of the best pay-per-views of the year. So hopefully WWE plays their cards right, they do the right thing, and they put on the right matches and put the right people over.
I think the big tell is what's going to happen once Survivor Series finally hits, because I think that's going to be when we decide, was this the right call to actually split the brands up? I mean, think that's around that time. We'll know for sure. But I am looking forward to this, and I do like what they did with both Raw and SmackDown. I think it's something we just got to get used to, besides the fact that JBL needs to leave SmackDown and Corey Graves needs to go to SmackDown. So JBL go back to Raw, Corey Graves, SmackDown, and I think the announcers are pretty much good then. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this month's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Roger Cave, Doug Hahn, and Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.